Management Institute. So let me open the session. If we can put slides at the same time. Can we put the slides for the opening, please? Okay. Just before the opening, let me wish all of you the Happy New Year, a lot of successes, health, and all the best for you, your families, and collaborators. We have here the list of the independent members of the committee. Christian Beck, Sigurd Hoffmann couldn't attend the meeting. Gunyun Kim, unfortunately, is not with us. Alexei Koshinnikov. Myself, Vladimir Ostashko, Claude Petitjean, Fabrice Picamal, Ivan Steckle, Emmanuel Vardacci, and Zeblon Vilkazi unfortunately couldn't attend the meeting. At this occasion, I would like to say a few words about Adam Sobieczewski. If I can have the next slide, please. Who, as you probably know, passed away in October last year. Professor Adam Sobieczewski from the Nuclear Institute for Nuclear Studies in Warsaw, our friend and colleague, member of the GNR Pact for Nuclear Physics for many years, passed away in October. He was an excellent scientist, theoretician, famous of many works, but probably the most beautiful works were related to the heavy and super heavy nuclei, to the predictions of the properties of this nuclei, and this works set a world standard, which I think will stay for many, many years in this domain. He was, as you know him, most of you, I think, an extremely kind and friendly person. I never have seen Adam to be nervous or arguing with anybody. He was already very, very friendly, always and helping many young colleagues in their career. He was also my teacher and also examinator at my PhD thesis. And I would like to ask you to hold a moment of silence in memory of Adam. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Okay. So we have also, of course, ex-official members appointed by GNR. Vadim Bednyakov, Sergei Dmitriev, Mikhail Itkis, Valery Shvetsov, Nikolai Skobelev, Tatiana Strish, and Viktor Voronov. We have today, as usually, a very dense and exciting program with beautiful experiments and beautiful results. And the major topic is related to the non-accelerator neutrino physics and astrophysics with GERDA, Supernano, Baikal, DANCE Gamma 3, and Edelweiss LT experiments, detectors. We'll have the visit of the Gelepov lab. As at every meeting in the last sessions, we'll discuss the status of the factory of superheavy elements, commissioning of Akulina 2, and report on the team theory of nuclear structure and nuclear reactions and proposal for the new team. And then traditionally we'll have the scientific reports and poster session. And next day, please, next slide, of course we'll have the close meeting with the presentation of the PAC recommendations just before the lunch on Thursday. And of course, with the traditional concert in the House of Scientists, thank you very much for organization also of this traditionally important event. So let's go immediately to the next point of the program. If you don't have any remarks on the agenda, I don't see any. So let me propose to chair for some time the session and please.
So, colleagues, so now Mr. Vidovic spoke on implementations of the recommendations of the previous Program Advisory Committee meeting. Please.
So I will report on the follow-up of the last meeting, which was in the middle of June last year. So you see here the program of the previous session, which was devoted to the topics status of the factor of super heavy elements, with many detailed talks on the current status of this facility, commissioning of Aquilina 2, and then several topics related to Tangra detector, E. And T and RM program, and then the next point on the physics of light mesons, which in fact finished the discussion on this topic with light mesons. So I will go shortly, essentially, with the follow-up, our recommendations provided by the Scientific Council on different topics, and the follow-up actions. So the first topic was related to the status of the factor of superheavy elements in the fluoro flap. We had the reports on the status of this factory by Igor Kalagin, Sergei Bogomov, and Andrei Popieko. The PAC appreciates the high pace of the installation, commissioning work of the subsystems. You see here the photos. We had also an opportunity to visit the facility. So shortly, the PAC recommendations on the status of the factor of super heavy elements. The GNR and FNNR directors ensure coordinated implementation of the schedule of civil construction, installation, and commissioning work for the accelerator, separator, target, and detector systems. A careful quality control to be ensured during the installation, commissioning of all mentioned super heavy element factory components is important in order to guarantee the reliable operation of the facility and its optimal performances. The fluoro flap directorate focus on the preparation of day one experiment. Special attention should be given to the timely provision of the super heavy element factory complex with engineering and technical personnel. It was also decided to appoint PAC permanent members to regular follow-up of the construction commission of the super heavy element factory. The Scientific Council recommendation on this topic. The Scientific Council is pleased to note that phase one of the construction of the super heavy element factory has entered its final stage. Civil construction is planned to be completed at the end of 2017. A complete range of installation work of the DC-280 cyclotron, the new ECR ion source, and the engineering systems is planned to be finished in December 2017. The installation and adjustment of the new gas field recoil separator, GFS-2, is to be completed during November 2017, June 2018. First experiments are planned in the second half of 2018. Given the high priority of the research work on the synthesis of superheavy elements and study of their properties, the Scientific Council recommends that the GNR and the FLNR directorates ensure the implementation of programs on the further development of the superheavy element factory, construction of new and upgrade of the existing physics instruments for the studies of chemical and nuclear properties of super heavy elements. And the recommendation continues here. In order to meet the deadlines of the startup and putting into operation the super heavy element factory, the pact recommends that directorates of the lab and the institute ensure coordinated implementation of the schedule of civil construction, installation, and commissioning work of the accelerator, separator, target, and detector systems. The floor of lab directorate should focus on the preparation of day one expand with special attention to be given to the timely provision of the super heavy element factory complex with engineering and technical personnel. So this essentially, the Scientific Council followed the recommendation of the PAC. The Scientific Council also recommends that carefully quality control be ensured during the installation and commissioning of all super heavy element factory components in order to guarantee the reliable operation of the facility at its optimal performance. So today we'll hear a report on the progress in the construction of the super heavy element factory and the plans for the commissioning. Now the recommendations of PAC on Akulina 2. The PAC endorsed the present program of the first experiments at the Akulina 2 fragment separator and looks forward to report on the results at the future meeting. So we'll hear this again at this meeting with the first results from Akulina. The Scientific Council recommendation, Scientific Council is pleased with the startup of the new fragment separator Akulina 2 and welcomes the program, the first experiments to investigate hydrogen 7, lithium 13, neon 17, and sulfur 26, decaying via 3N, 4N, and 2P emissions. And as I said, we'll continue the discussion and report on this, the evaluation of the project today. Project Tangra, which stands for Detect Neutron and Gamma Rays. The project is aimed at developing the target neutron method and its application for basic nuclear physics research as well as for applied studies. The PAC notes the successful realization of the first stage of the project during 2014-2016, the expansion of the list of its participants as well as the balanced research program for 2017-2019 with the recommendation that the PAC recommended extension of the Tangra project until the end of 2019 with full allocation of the requested funding according to the presented schedule of the work. This is just a reminder of the principle of this detector, which we have seen at the last meeting. The next topic is related to the project ENT and RM. The PAC notes the large amount of the work carried out by the authors of the project to develop methods for studying the main nuclear physics parameters of the uranium assembly, Quinta. It's the big, massive target, uranium target, the neutron field, the plutonium production time, the energy yield of the assembly, the transmutation rates of minor actinides, which were studied. The recommendation is that the PAC recommends extension of the work for this project until the end of 2019. And this is still a little bit of work for the PAC to be done. Essentially today and tomorrow morning. More detailed recommendation on this topic will be should be formulated at the present meeting after some additional information and discussions. The Scientific Council recommendation for these two projects, Tangra and I think the name should be changed. It's a very complicated one even to pronounce. So I know that there are some efforts to provide a more easier to name for this project in the future. The Scientific Council supports the recommendation of the PAC for nuclear physics on the extension of the Tangra project, design and development of the TAC neutron method for determination of the elemental structure of materials and nuclear reaction studies, and of the E and T and RM project, study of deeply subcritical electronuclear systems and possibilities of the application for energy production, transportation of radioactive waste and research in the field of radiation material science until the end of 2019. Now the recommendations related to physics of light mesons with the PEN-MEC topic and experiment. The PAC recommends continuation of the processing of the data analysis in the PEN experiment on the radiative decay of pion that will allow to improve the previous results and to extract a new experimental value of the R ratio E over mu. The PEN goal is to get this uncertainty on the ratio on the level 5, 10 to minus 4. The PAC supports participation in the MEC2 project as the result of the MEC2 experiment in 2018-2020. A new upper limit on the branching ratio of the mu decaying to E plus and gamma decay of 4, about 4, 5, 10 to minus 14 will be should be reached. Now the PEINAC experiment. The PAC hopes that the PEINAC collaboration will successfully complete the analysis of the all the existing data, as well as extraction of pion beams and launch a new project as soon as possible. And PAC encourages the PEINAC collaboration to have a more aggressive strategy for publication. Triton experiment. Take into account the new data on previous not observed PT fusion channel with the emission of an electron-positron pair and gamma quantum pair, as well as the complexity of the method for investigation. The PAC recommends continuation of the activity of the Triton experiment in order to carry out, in particular, modeling of kinetics of mesoatomic and mesomolecular processes in the target, calibration of detectors on an electron beam with the energy up to 20 MeV, development of a technique for modeling and channel registration process with the emission of two gamma quanta from the PT fusion reactions in the Triton installation, in-depth analysis of the experimental data which were already obtained, as well as the decommissioning of the Triton installation from operation by 2020. The Scientific Council recommendations following the PAC ones. The Scientific Council notes the endorsement by the PAC of the final reports on the results obtained with MEC, PEN, Triton, PEINAC experiments on the team physics of light mesons and supports the PAC recommendations on the continuation of the participation in the upgraded MEC2 frontier experiment in the search for lepton flavor violation. And this is the last slide of my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Dear Chris, do you have any questions or to Mr. Prelevitovich? If not, I thank you once more. And then, so we will have talk by Mikhail Itkis on information on the resolution of the 122 session of the GNR Scientific Council, which took place in September 2017, and on the discussion decisions of the GNR Committee of Plenipotentiaries in November of the last year, please. So now I pass to you.
Thank you. Dear Chairman, dear member of Program Advisory Committee, good morning to everybody. Now I come to information on the resolution to main events, Scientific Council and Plenipotentiary Committee. The 2022 session of our Scientific Council took place 18-19 September last year. It was chaired by Director Viktor Matveev and co-chaired by Mikhail Valigursky. The schedule of the Scientific Council session, report of presented by Director Viktor Matveev, progress report, super heavy element factory presented by Sergei Dmitriev, and NICA project presented by Vladimir Kikelidze. Scientific reports, the quest for phase transition in strongly interacting matter presented by Rustamov and probing dense matter at NICA energies with the leptons, prospects and challenges presented by Itzhak Tsiruya. recommendation of Program Advisory Committee presented by chairmen of Tsiruya, Levitovich, and Danish Nagy. Membership of Program Advisory Committee presented by me. Report by young scientists recommended by Program Advisory Committee. Jansitov and Belokopytova. Awards and prizes. Election of the director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics and announcement of vacancies of position in the directorate of our laboratories. General consideration. The Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report by our director Viktor Matveyev presenting in-depth analysis of the role and place of our institute in the world's fundamental nuclear physics science and covering the decision of the latest session of the our Committee of Plenipotentiary March 2017. The progress in implementing the our scientific program in the first starting year of the new seven-year plan and major events in the activities of our institute in, and its international cooperation. Scientific Council was pleased to note the important strategy plans for our institute to achieve new scientific and technological results of high significance in 2017-2023, in particular in the process of realizing and launching the NICA mega project in the factory of super heavy element, and in expanding the spectrometer complex of IBR2 reactor and the user program at this facility. The Scientific Council highly appreciated the efforts undertaken by the our directorate towards the developing the institute research infrastructure in integrating in European scientific landscape. It's noted in particular in the inclusion in 2017 of the NICA accelerator complex and the super heavy element factory in the NUPEC long range plan perspectives in nuclear physics. General considerations. Scientific Council congratulate our institute on the inauguration of the names of the new super heavy elements, moscovium, tennessine, and agonison, synthesized at the Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reaction, which was held in Moscow on 2nd March 2017. Scientific Council welcomed the signing of new agreement on cooperation between our institute and INFN Italy, which took place in Moscow on the 12th April in the presence of the President of Italian Republic, Mattarella. Scientific Council emphasized the importance of the elaboration of our new strategic plan based on the long-term future of the our laboratories and wished to be informed about the strategic planning process and timeline. The Scientific Council took note of the appointment of the Alexander Sorin as Chief Scientific Secretary and Boris Gikal as Chief Engineer of our Institute. The Scientific Council thanked their predecessor, Nikolai Rusakovich and Grigory Shirkov, for their long-term successful work. The Scientific Council was pleased to learn of the appointment of Grigory Trubnikov, Deputy Minister of Education and Science of the Russian Federation, as plenipotentiary of the government of Russian Federation to our institute and wished him successful work in these two responsible positions. Scientific Council appreciates the new brochures of our activities and facilities recently published and distributed at the session and encourage further effort to enhance the international visibility of our institute, science, and communication. You can see the, these two brochures. Concerning the recommendation on super heavy element factory, I believe that Marek Levitovich told about it, and I can not repeat again the same words. The Scientific Council took note of the report presented by Sergei Dmitriev, high priority, and so on. You know very well. Recommendation on the NICA project. The Scientific Council took note of the report of Боголюб, Vector Building Laboratory Director Vladimir Kikilidze, Progress of the NICA Project. The Scientific Council note with satisfaction the very good progress in implementing this flagship project of our institute, which has been recognized as the important element of the European research infrastructure. The Scientific Council appreciated the successful development of Nuclotron NICA Accelerator Complex, including the recent production of polarized proton beams with the new source of polarized particles, ongoing construction of the booster for which the electron cooling system was manufactured by Butker Institute of Nuclear Physics in Novosibirsk Institute and delivered to our institute, and with the progress of civil construction for the collider. A large amount of work is being done by the Baryonic Matter on Nuclotron and MPD collaboration to develop the detectors and their subsystem. Efforts have been undertaken to enhance this collaboration by new participants. Recommendation on the NICA project. On the whole, the Scientific Council commended the dynamic progress of the NICA project, encouraged further expansion of the international collaboration around the planned experiments, and expressed hope that the challenging work for the NICA complex would be successfully continued. The Scientific Council took note of the recommendation made by Program Advisory Committees and their meeting in June 2017, as reported at this session by Tseruya, Marek Levitovich, and Danish Nagy. The Scientific Council proposed that our directorate should take this recommendation into account in preparing of the topical plan of research and international cooperation for 2018. This recommendation are documented in detail in the Program Advisory Committee minutes. As proposed by our directorate, the Scientific Council appointed Danish Nagy from Budapest, Hungary, as chairman of the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics, and Peter Mikula from Rež, Czech Republic, as new member of this Program Advisory Committee, each for a term of 3 years. Scientific Council also appointed Professor Musa from Geneva, CERN, as a new member of Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics for the term of 3 years. The Scientific Council appreciates the following reports by young scientists, which were recommended by Program Advisory Committee for presentation at this session. Investigation of exotic states in light nuclei, presented by Jean Siitov, and neurochemical alteration in central nervous system of rodents after exposure to the different radiation modalities, presented by Belokopytova. These young people are shown here. The Scientific Council congratulates Professor Wong from Beijing, China, Professor Kim from Seoul National University, Korea, and Koshiro Nishikawa from Keck, Tsukuba, Japan, on the award of the Bruno Pantekorva Prize for the outstanding contribution to the study of the neutrino oscillation phenomena and to the measurement of the theta-1-3 mixing angle in the Dea Bay experiment, Reno experiment, and T2K experiment. The Scientific Council thank them for their excellent presentations. Scientific Council congratulated the winners of our Institute Annual Prize for the best papers in the field of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. Election and announcement of vacation. The Scientific Council elected Dmitry Kazakov as director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics for the term of 5 years. The Scientific Council thanks Viktor Voronov for his successful tenure as director of this laboratory. The Scientific Council announced the vacation of position of Deputy Director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. The endorsement of appointments of the Deputy Director will be held at the 123rd session of Scientific Council in February this year. The Scientific Council announced the vacancies of positions for Director of Djelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems and of the Director of Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reaction. The election will take place at the 124th session of Scientific Council in September of this year. Session of Plenipotentiary Committee. Regular session of Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the governments of the our member states was held in Dubna 24th, 25th November last year. It was chaired by Plenipotentiary of Russian Federation, Grigory Trubnikov. The agenda of this session: recommendation of previous session of our Scientific Council, a brief overview of the result of our activities in 2017 and plans for this year, presented by Director Viktor Matveyev, draft budget of our Institute for year 2018, draft contribution of member states for the years 2019, 2020, 2021, presented by Sergei Dotsenko, progress in, of implementing NICA complex project and proposal for spending the special purpose funds allocated by Russian Federation in accordance with the agreement between the government of Russian Federation and our institute, dated 2 June 2016, presented by Kikelidze and Richard Lednitsky. Result of meeting of our finance committee held on today before Plenipotentiary Committee meeting, presented by Arsen Khvidelizi, Plenipotentiary of Georgia. Information from our delegation about meeting in the Ministry of Education and Science of Ukraine and about the workshop at the Academy of Science of the Republic of Uzbekistan, presented by me, and the result of audit of our financial activities for year 2015, presented by Korsakov. Improvement of procurement activities of our institute, presented by Richard Lednitsky. Amended proposal of rules of procedure of our Scientific Council, presented by Alexander Sorin. Our participation in Russian Federation targeted research program with framework of international cooperation with institution of the People's Republic of China, presented by Khadzibagyan, Deputy Director of Vector Balin Laboratory, and status of factory of super heavy element, presented by Sergei Dmitriev. Concerning the report presented by our director, the Committee of Plenipotentiary took note the recommendation of the 122nd session of our Scientific Council of the information of our directorate on implementation of the our plan of research and international cooperation in 2017, the first starting year of the new seven-year plan for the development of institute, as well as on the priorities of our activities in 2018. Committee of Plenipotentiaries approved the recommendation of 122nd session of the Scientific Council is our topical plan of the research and international cooperation for 2018. The Committee Plenipotentiary notes the importance of our elaborate a new strategic plan for long-term development of institute laboratories and requests our directorate to present regular information on the work in this direction. The Committee Plenipotentiary took note of the initiative of our directorate and the Republic of Poland about intention of jointly establish a laboratory for structural research of macromolecules and new materials at the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center of the Jagiellon University in Krakow, Poland, and commissioned the directorate to continue this work. The committee plenty potentially commissioned the our directorate to organize the open international competition in 2018 for researchers and postgraduates to fill vacancies of the position in our priority scientific projects. Committee plenty potentially recommended that our directorate organize special purpose grant program in 2018 to stimulate the participation of scientists of the member states and other countries in the implementation of the NICA project. Committee plenty potentially welcomed the decision taken by government of the Russian Federation on the August 2017, according to which our institute has received the right to confer academic degree and suggested that the plenipotentiary should facilitate the procedure of recognizing our institute degree diplomas in the member states. The committee plenipotentiary accepted the proposal of the our directorate to celebrate the 25th anniversary of accession to the Institute of the Group Independent States by holding a festive meeting dedicated to this event on the 26th March of this year. Concerning the report of draft budget for 2018, draft contribution of member states for years 2019 to 2020 and 2021, presented by Sergei Dantsentsich, chief accountant of our institute, committee of plenipotentiary approved our budget for year 2018 with total expenditure amount the US dollars 207 million. And the scale of contribution of the member states for this year. Approve the contribution of the member states for 2018 and the payment of the contribution areas of member states for this year. The determined the provisional volume of our budget in income, the expenditure for year 2019 amounting 205 megadollars. For year 2020, amounting to 108 megadollars. For year 2021, amount 212 megadollars, as well as the provisional amount of the member states' contribution for these years. Allow the our directorate to index the salary and tariff parts of the compensation package of the staff members, taking into account the possibilities afforded by our budget in 2018, in accordance with our collective bargaining agreement for 2017-2020. It's this Profsoyuz so-called agreement. Concerning the report progress on implementing the NICA complex project and the proposal for spending the special purpose funds allocated by Russian Federation in accordance with the agreement between government of the Russian Federation and our institute on the construction and exploitation of the NICA complex, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note the progress in implementing the project of NICA complex in accordance with the 7-year plan for development of 2017-2023 and with aforesight agreement and recognize the scientific and technological achievement in this project. Approve for year 2018 the our budget for use of the special purpose fund of Russian Federation allocated in accordance with the agreement in the amount of 5,400 mega rubles. It's approximately 100, little bit less than 100 mega dollars. Adopted the provisional volume of the our budget for use of the special purpose funds of the Russian Federation for year 2019 with a total expenditure 1,500 million rubles and for year 2020 with a total expenditure of approximately 1,000 million rubles. The committee planned potentially note that in 2013 and 2015, prior to the signing of the agreement, work was performed on the number of objects of the basic configuration of the NICA complex in the amount of 2,800 million labors using the budgetary funds of our institute and those of other countries. In view of the forthcoming discussion of the preliminary result and the immediate plans for implementation of the agreement at the meeting of supervisory board of NICA complex project, the Committee of Planning Potentiary stated that it fully guarantees implementation of our obligation stipulated by agreement. Concerning the financial issues, concerning the report result of meeting of our finance committee held in 22nd November last year, presented by Arsen Khvedelidze, Planning Potentiary of Georgia, the Committee of Planning Potentiaries approved the protocol of meeting of finance committee, approved the rules of procedure of Committee of Planning Potentiary of the Government of the Member States and the rules of procedure of Finance Committee of our Institute. Commissioned our Directorate to prepare a draft roadmap for work on the regulation for our staff and forward it to the member of the working group under the Committee of Planning Potentiary Chairman for our financial issues by 1st February of this year. Concerning the information from our delegation about meeting at the Ministry of Education and Science of Ukraine and about the workshop of Academy of Science of Republic of Uzbekistan, Committee of Planning Potentiaries recommended that our directorate should continue work on the implementation of mutually acceptable model of cooperation between our institute and Ukraine. Recommended that note should be taken of the information on the negotiation of our representative with high official of the Republic of Uzbekistan on measures to restore the activities of Republic of Uzbekistan in our institute. Concerning international cooperation, special talk was presented by Gamlet Hadjibagyan, Deputy Director of Wechsler Baldwin Laboratory. The Committee of Planning Potentiary expressed its consent that our participation in competition of the Ministry of Education and Science of Russian Federation on activity 2.1, priority 1, conducting studies on selected priority areas involving research organization and universities in China within the framework of the federal targeted program R&D in the priority areas on advancement of the Russian scientific and technological complex for 2014-2020 in the following activities. Development of linear superconducting accelerators for NICA accelerator complex, research for preparation of technical proposal for energy storage device made superconductive material for the NICA project, production of pilot batch of modules for the electromagnetic calorimeter of the multipurpose detector MPD and NICA collider, and the development of stochastic cooling system for NICA accelerator complex. Concerning the factory of super heavy element, the civil construction work installation of the DC-220 cyclotron are planned to be completed in December. In principle, it was made. The start-up, the adjustment work for cyclotron and engineering system for building in January-April 2018. The start-up of new gas field recoil separator in June-July this year. The preparation and performance of first experiment in September-November of this year. Committee recommended that our directorate take all necessary measures to ensure the implementation of the schedule plan for startup and commissioning of the super heavy element factory, experimental building DC-280 cyclotron and new gas field recoil separator. Concerning the report improvement of procurement activities presented by Richard Lednitsky, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries approved the action of our directorate on the improving these activities of our institute. Note the importance of conducting effective procedures taking into account the volumes of funding and the institute. I must say that last year the all obligation of our institute for each laboratory has been performed in full volume concerning the material, equipment, and so on. Concerning the report, amendment proposed to the rule of procedure of our scientific council presented by Alexander Sorin, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries allowed the endorsement of appointment deputy directors of Bogoliubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics to be held at the 123rd session of the scientific council, approved the following amendment to the corresponding paragraph item 2 in the regulation for election of directors and for the endorsed appointment of deputy directors of our laboratories, which constitute the annex to the current rules of procedure of scientific council approved at the plenipotentiary session in March 2013. The announcement of vacancy for position of laboratory deputy director is made by the scientific council with subsequent endorsement of the appointment to this position and the session following the session which announced the vacancy. Congratulations. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries congratulate Academician Viktor Matveev, director of our institute, on having been awarded the Order of the Russian Federation for Merit to the Fatherland, third class, and the Order of Merit of the French Republic. You can see this moment of awarded. And the Committee of Plenipotentiaries congratulate the Academician Yuri Aganisyan, scientific leader of the Flora Laboratory of Nuclear Reaction, on the having been awarded the Order of Russian Federation for Merit to the Fatherland, second class. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for the report. Any urgent questions? Of course, we'll have also tomorrow morning the meeting with the directorate, so we can also ask the questions on these different topics. If not, we'll go to the first scientific topic of this meeting, and we'll have the report on the team on non-nuclear accelerator neutrino physics and astrophysics. And this topic is divided into five parts. The first one is related to the GEDA project, and Konstantin Gusev will talk in about 20 minutes. Please.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to tell you a few words about our project, which named GERDA, or J and M, for research for neutrinoless double beta decay of germanium-76. So since I'm the first one, I should tell usual words about double beta decay, why it's important. So neutrinoless double beta decay is the process which violates the lepton number, and so therefore it's completely forbidden in standard model. And so it seems that it's only one practical way to check the nature of neutrino, whether it's Dirac or Majorana particle. So to have a good experiment for the search of double beta decay, this experiment should have some features. The main, for sure, that should be very high target mass and the efficiency of detection. It's important to have as low background as possible, and also it should have a very good energy resolution of detectors which are used. What we are looking for? We are looking for actually for a very sharp peak at the end of two neutrino double beta decay, which is also a rare process, but it's not forbidden, and it's measured for several isotopes, And the half-life is about 10 to 21 years for this process. So here it's shown why energy resolution is still important, because of unavoidable background of two neutrino double beta decay for neutrinoless double beta decay search. So what is the approach of our experiment, of GERDA? We are using famous germanium detectors enriched in isotope candidate for neutrinoless double beta decay, germanium-76. These detectors have very good energy resolution. Since we have our sources simultaneously also our detector, we have very high detection efficiency. And essential feature of the experiment, it's ultra-low background. So we put our setup deep underground in, actually it stayed in Italy, in LNGS laboratory. So we performed very careful survey of materials which are surrounded the detectors. We use first time ever the approach to put bare germanium detectors directly in liquid argon, which cools down detectors until the needed temperature, and also used as a passive and in our phase two as active shield against the background. And so also to reach the background level, which I will report, we use a pulse-shaped discrimination technique. So GERDA collaboration, it's not so big. It consists of about 100 scientists from 16 institutes and from 6 countries. So it's significant part of these scientists are from GINR. So GERDA uses staged implementation. Phase one has been already successfully finished in 2013 and reached the sensitivity of 10 to 25 years for half-life of double beta decay after 1 year of data taken. So for phase one, which is ongoing, we had to reduce the background index by one order of magnitude compared to previous phase. This has been done by adding of new BEG detectors, which have a better pulse-shaped discrimination capability, and also we managed to use our argon as active shield in phase two. So here you see the theme of our experiment. This is a liquid argon cryostat surrounded by a water tank, instrumented with PMTs to use it as muon vitro. On top of the cryostat, we have a clean room with a glove box to operate the detectors. And here on top of the clean room, we have plastic muon vitro to close the neck of the cryostat. Inside the cryostat, you can see liquid argon instrumentation system. And inside the liquid argon vitro, you have the core of our experiment, 40 germanium detectors. So the phase two of GERDA has been successfully started in December of 2015, and now it's ongoing. As I have already mentioned, we are using several background rejection techniques. The main are a liquid argon vitro and pulse-shaped discrimination. And so here you can see that they work together very well. They are complementary and they work pretty well. I would say here, to explain this gray band, we are also, I think for accelerator physicists, it's a usual approach to use a blinding approach. Here in the field of double beta decay, we were the first one who started to use this. It means that in the region close to Q beta beta, we blind, and we are not open this window until we finalize our background model and all the cuts of all pulse shape discrimination cuts. After we finalize all this, we open the window and look inside, which helps us to avoid any biasing of on the results. So a few words about performance of Gerda. We performed pretty well. We started in December 2015, and now it's here, it's written to April, but one can say until now, we are stable. Our duty cycle is about 93%, and the energy resolution is pretty good, and, which is also important, pretty stable for coaxial and for BEG detectors, which are used in Gerda. Also, I want to mention that in phase one, we had some problem with the detectors, that the leakage current of the detectors increased this time. In phase two, we do not have this problem, fortunately, so, and energy resolution is stable, as you can see here. After first 6 months of data taking, we decided to perform first unblinding to be sure that everything goes well. And so we were happy to confirm that we managed to reach our background goal, and so we really have 10 to minus 3 counts per kev kilogram year background, which actually means that when we reach our design exposure of 100 kilogram year, we will still have less than one count in our region of interest, which allows us to say that Gerda is the first background-free experiment in double beta decay. So that at that time we managed to set a new limits for sensitivity for double beta decay it's 4 and 5.3, 10 to 25 years, and this result has been published in Nature. So, but data taking, as I mentioned, still ongoing, and now we have in June 2017 we performed second unblinding with threefold more statistics. But still, data taking is ongoing, and now, for example, we have 12 more kilogram year already, but it's still blinded. We were again happy to confirm that our background index keeps the same. It's still 10 to minus 3 counts per kev kilogram year. And so here is the full spectrum, the blinded spectrum, actually, in up to April 2017. Here you see how liquid argon veto works. Actually, if you look here, one could see that after liquid argon veto, we have only, here the blue line, only two neutrino double beta decay spectrum here. And after we switch on pulse shape discrimination, and for BEG detectors, one could see that we successfully remove practically all background which stayed after liquid argon veto. So this is unblinded window. So the new 2017 results are following. We have the sensitivity 5.8, 10 to 25 years, which is best sensitivity, half-life sensitivity in double beta decay field. And the new limit of Gerda is 8.0, 10 to 25 years. So summarizing the Gerda, I would say that we managed to reach our background goal. We have the best background index in ROI, and so we will stay background free until the design exposure of 100 kilogram years. But our sensitivity goal should be reached already this year. So, and these are the last limit from our phase one and phase two data collected so far. But we are going to do something else this year, or maybe next year. We are going to perform the upgrade of Gerda experiment. Since now we are producing novel germanium detectors, which are more massive than BEG detectors, which we are using now, at least two or maybe three times more massive, but they have similar pulse shape discrimination capability as our actual detectors. So now we are producing five of these detectors, and we are going to put them in Gerda. And we also working on improvement of liquid argon veto to increase the efficiency of the of liquid argon veto. For this upgrade, we have to dismount all the detectors and so replace liquid argon veto. So it will take at least 2 months of time. But since we will add new enriched detectors, we will not delay the full project. So now I want to say a few words about why we name project also J&M, because it's not only Gerda, but this is Gerda and Majorana. Majorana is an experiment which is ongoing in US. They are also using enriched germanium detectors, but they used a more classical approach. They put their detectors inside copper vacuum cryostats, so it's normal way of to operate the germanium detectors. So they initially these two collaborations were working together. We have every year we have our common meetings, and so initially when we started these two projects, we were thinking about joining these two projects at the after the end of these projects and to have the new common effort, which is now is actually starting. It names Legend, and so I will tell just a few words about this soon. So the status of Majorana demonstrator is presented here. I want only to say that their approach is also works pretty well, and so they also managed to reach similar background index, a bit worse than we are, but still similar. So it's also quite a good experiment. So in the future, as I said, we will, this GM, we will have a name now. It names Legend. So the mission of the Legend project is, it's written here, but the mission is to reach, the ultimate goal is to reach 10 to 28 years half-life sensitivity. Legend, as well as Gerda, also going to use a staged implementation, and the first stage will be with 200 kilograms of enriched germanium will be performed in existing Gerda infrastructure in Italy at LNGS, but we have to reduce the background at least by three times compared to Gerda. But we will manage to reach sensitivity of 10 to 27 years. But subsequent stages, and the final stage is we want to have 1 ton of enriched germanium, but for sure it will strongly depend on financing because it costs a lot of money. But we are going to reach a sensitivity of 10 to 28 years. And so I would say that now the preparation for Legend 200 is ongoing, and possibly we will managed to start the first stage of a new next generation Legend project already in the end of 2020, maybe start of 2021. And again, I want to note that germanium experiments, compared to all other experiments in double beta decay, have better discovery potential thanks to very, very good energy resolution of germanium detectors. So here, this is our plans. Since we are speaking about prolongation of the project at GINR, these are our plans. So in 2018-19, we are going to perform the upgrade of Gerda experiment by adding novel enriched detectors and exchanging the liquid argon veto by improved version. In 2020, we will reach our design exposure in Gerda and start the preparation of the first phase of Legend project. And in 2021, we are going to start phase one of Legend. So, Yeah, I think that's it, what I wanted to tell you. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for this extremely nice results and limits on the world level. Questions? Remarks?
Of course, very good experiment and very remarkable results, but can you describe the level of GNR participation, group of GNR, in physics analysis of the data?
Yeah, and then, yeah, maybe in physics analysis of the data, yeah, maybe we it's our role, maybe it's not so important, but it's still important. Actually, I would happy to tell you that tomorrow on the poster session of young scientists, we will have a poster. Yeah, I forgot to mention it. It's important. We'll have a poster about pulse shape discrimination with BEG detectors from Nadezhda Rumyantseva, and she participated in the analysis and also in this development of pulse shape discrimination. And also we have another poster about liquid argon vector instrumentation where we participated also quite we have quite significant role. But for sure, it's a good question. Thank you. We have to improve in the future the really increased amount of people who will join the analysis effort of the project. I think this is our goal of our group. So, but in let me say, in all operations with germanium detectors, with liquid argon vector, we are strongly participating. And so also, you know that this plastic muon vector has been produced by GNR. It was GNR responsibility. But now I think we played quite significant role in this experiment.
Other questions?
Okay, first of all, congratulations for this really very outstanding results. And I have a question for the 1 ton scenario. In the past, Gerda collaboration said that germanium 68 can be a problem. This is a cosmogenic nucleus. So is Grand Sasso is still deep underground to avoid the production of germanium 68, and also it was said that it was necessary to enrich underground the germanium in order to avoid the germanium 68. So what is the status about this germanium 68 for the legend?
Yeah, what we are doing now, actually, no. Yeah, it's good. Thank you for the question. Yeah, we are not enriched, and now we are procuring a new material, and it's produced in the normal places, in ECP, you know. So we, let me say, try to avoid germanium 76 to stay outside. We always try to keep it stored underground, but we are not now, unfortunately, speaking about the enrichment underground. It's really, I personally think that yeah, maybe it's a question of the future, but not now. We are not going in this direction, I think. But about deepness of Grand Sasso lab, here it's written, as you see, location to be defined. So we still don't know where we put. Yeah, I agree with you that maybe Grand Sasso is not enough deep from the point of view of germanium 68 and from the point of view of muons. And maybe it's not deep enough, and so now we are speaking about maybe to put 1 ton experiment somewhere, maybe, I don't know, maybe in Canada or in China, even. But still, there are some investigation whether, yeah, I think soon the part of Gerda collaboration will publish some paper about this germanium 68, and so after some simulation we found that maybe it's still deep enough for 1 ton. So, but I would not tell you more, but soon we will publish some paper, and so maybe we are lucky and Grand Sasso is still deep enough even for 1 ton experiment. But now again, we are thinking about, I don't know, about Canada maybe, mainly, about deeper place.
Okay. I check my notes. Yes, you spoke about the rejection of the event, and you said that a part of the event can be rejected by using anti-coincidence with the other germanium. What is the ratio of event you reject using the other germanium compared to the rejection with the liquid argon?
Yeah, but I think that the efficiency of liquid argon, I think the amount of events, let me think about it. You mean how effective liquid argon vector compared to pulse-shaped discrimination?
No, you said that in one slide, you said that you are using also anti-coincidence with the other germanium.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah. And, okay, I guess that the liquid argon veto is very efficient, but do you reject some events with this anti-coincidence with other germanium?
Yeah, actually, this anti-coincidence, it's the very first cut, let me say. If we have more than one detectors in coincidence, we cut this event. So somehow we are really practically not look at the spectrum before anti-coincidence. So we are looking after anti-coincidence on the spectrum, and after we add pulse shape, liquid argon veto, and add pulse shape discrimination. So unfortunately, I would not answer you what is the ratio between liquid argon veto and anti-coincidence cut. This is I cannot tell you. Sorry.
Because when you have an event inside the column of germanium, yeah, the liquid argon veto, you have a good efficiency to detect
This is for sure an important question, and also on the poster tomorrow. Yeah, one of our young scientists will show that we are going in this upgrade. Yeah, it's a good question, because now the efficiency to see the light from in between the detectors is very low. Yeah, we still have, but the efficiency is very low. And now we are going, you see here, we have seven strings of the detectors, and especially it's hard to catch the light from the middle string, which is inside. And now in the upgrade, we are going not only to have this shroud around, but we also want to put some fibers inside this array. So we should have an inner shroud of fibers, and this will help to read out also the light from between the detectors. So we are thinking about this, sure, and we want to improve this efficiency.
Very short one. Yes, please.
Now, just to come back to the question of analysis, how it is organized inside the GERDA collaboration? I mean, the different groups are in competition to present their own analysis, or it is a kind of common analysis?
No, it's a common analysis. We have an analysis team. We have our physics coordinator who is the head of analysis team, and these people from different institutes are contributing to their own parts. Someone is responsible for background modeling, for someone is responsible for pulse shape discrimination with coaxial detector, someone for pulse shape discrimination with BEGs, etc. So we have our team. So there is not parallel analysis, if you're asking about this.
Claude, please.
First, let me congratulate to this fantastic experiment. It has made great progress, and it, of course, it's extremely promising going into this high precision. Now, I would like to hear further what towards going to the ultimate experiment, the legend experiment, what further measures are you considering to reduce the background because of the much higher sensitivity? The background must be reduced even more. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, so the idea is to, let me say, as I mentioned, I'll come back, as I mentioned, that we want to use best. Now we have similar background index for Majorana and for Gerda. So what is our main features? It's we have liquid argon veto, which is active veto, and we have bare germanium detectors inside. For Majorana, they produce the copper underground, so they produce their own very low background copper. So we want to take this copper and make all the detectors holder from the copper provided by Majorana. This is the first, for example, which is just easy to understand. And after, we want to improve liquid argon veto efficiency, and we want, as I mentioned, to have new detectors. I don't know this, it's not here. New detectors which are more massive. So it's also easy. We have now, our BG detectors is about 700 grams of germanium. And we have two cables for every detectors. Now we want to threefold increase the mass of every detector by threefold, but we still have two cables. So we have less cables, means less background, less materials around. So even during the upgrade of Gerda experiment, after the upgrade, we want to see, and I'm quite confident we will see the improvement of the background already in Gerda. But when we add this new copper and new ideas from Majorana, I think we will go further. Yeah, so I think for first stage, I'm pretty confident that we will manage to improve the background by 3-4 times compared to what we have now in Gerda. So.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for all the presentation and explanations. And we'll move to the next topic. Thank you very much. So the next topic is the NEMO, Super NEMO project, and will be presented by Yuri Shitov.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I will present the Super NEMO project, which is extending now for next 3 years. The main goal of the Super NEMO project is just extension of our successful NEMO-free trachocalorimetric methods of measurement double beta decay. Thanks to Kostya, I don't need to speak about the theory of double beta decay again, because it has explained some main things. So I will start to speak about the main ideas. So the idea here, so we want to go from our good NEMO-free detector to the new one, which is in Super NEMO. So what we want to improve all our parameters of the experiment. So we are increasing the mass, we want to decrease background, we want to improve efficiency, wants to improve energy resolution, and to reach sensitivity level of 10 to the 26. So next topic, I will speak about some details of the NEMO-free results and also our Super NEMO goals. So here is just a roadmap of the experiment. So we have NEMO coming, starting in 80s. So going from stages NEMO 1, 2, 3, and now we're entering Super NEMO stage. By the way, we are celebrating in this day 25th of anniversary of our participation in gender participation in this project. So we accumulated a large experience in this project. So about the NEMO collaboration, NEMO Super NEMO collaboration, originally it was NEMO experiment on molybdenum, that's why it was NEMO. Now it's more general, like neutrino ettore Majorana observatory. So here it's we also small project relatively to high energy physics projects. So we have around 80 physicists from 11 laboratories, 25 laboratories and 11 countries. So the main contribution coming from Russia, from France, and from UK, but also a participator from other countries are also important for us. Here is our NEMO-free detector. So this is a toroidal shape, and we have 20 sectors, and this detector took data between 2003 to 2011 with 7 isotopes. with total mass about 10 grams, and of course the main one is molybdenum 100 with 7 kilogram of 100. Here are some numbers for this detector. So actually here in the middle of the toroid we have thin foils. I will show later the pattern of the, and this from these foils we have electrons coming outside into Geiger chambers, leaving the tracks, and then on the two walls around this toroid you have calorimeter, which where electrons deposit energy, and that's why we have full pattern of the double beta decay. What is important fact here that this detector able to identify electron, positron, gammas, and delayed alphas, so it help us to self-identify all the grounds in our detector. So of course this helps us to discriminate hugely the background. So if we look here, this is a typical event, so beta events in the NEMO free detector. So you see here we have two tracks of electrons because I forgot to mention we have magnetic field to separate positron and electrons. So you see two reconstructed tracks. Here we have reconstructed vertex. Also we have two fired calorimeter blocks which say us about the energy of the electrons. So actually we see clear, beautiful picture of beta events, which is a unique information which is not available, for example, in calorimetric experiments. And this is our main advantage. Just for example, I also show some results from NEMO3. This is the spectrum of our main isotope, molybdenum. So this is a pure and nice some energy spectrum, which is a standard spectrum for double beta decay, which you can see also in calorimetry. But for us, what is important, we also can measure single electron spectrum and also angle between electrons, which is important information, for example, for theoreticians, because if we want to investigate our neutral matrix elements, which are important things in this field, so we need this information for theoreticians. So the beta community says that the NEMO and SuperNEMO, this is a beta decay factory, because we have extremely high statistics for double beta decays, and we can use this unique data for some precision tests. Here another example of how we are using this information. For example, we can probe a mechanism, double beta mechanism in molybdenum. In molybdenum, you can have a transition can go, for example, from low state of intermediate nuclear, we call it a single state dominance hypothesis. Also, high state dominance hypothesis says that in principle you can have contribution from higher state of the intermediate nuclear, and in this case you have difference in single electron shapes, which is unavailable, for example, in calorimetry. But in our case, if we look at the spectrum of single electron and compare our data with the theory, we clearly see that SSD hypothesis has better fitting than the HSD. That's why this result is very interesting, because this is the first demonstration that we are really sensitive to the mechanism of double beta decay. And what is important in this case, you see that even results are different, because using different hypotheses, you have different results for our half-life estimations. Another interesting result, this is a very recent result about the from NEMO3, published last year. So this is a quadrupole neutrinoless beta decay. So in principle, if double beta decay forbidden and neutrino is Dirac particle, so in principle we can have this quadrupole decay in this some nucleus like neodymium, for example. And we exploit this unique ability of our detector to check this decay. Obviously, we didn't find it, but first time in the world, we set these limits for this decay. And this published article was also published in peer review letters and in PRL editor. Just it was a selection of months for the editor for this paper. Okay, now from NEMO to SuperNEMO. So we start our R&D studies in parallel with NEMO3 running. So since 2006, so it's more than 10 years, we're already working on this. So huge work has been done to reach this level of to build the new first model of our demonstrator. So here I just mentioned the main work packages. So this is optical units. So we create new calorimeter optical units and the wall of colorimeter, for example. We also create tracker for new tracker for, and also we have a, we done a huge work in low background R&D studies just to be able to build this detector. So this is the current status of the detector. So this is the anti-radon tent, and inside this tent in our laboratory, so we're mounting this SuperNemo first module. And the main goal, of course, this is the start of this module, and also we need to achieve an, our climate level of super low background conditions. For SuperNemo demonstrator, we this is the some schematic view of the demonstrator. So it has planar form, planar shape. Of course, the idea was to reduce number of channels for tracker, for colorimeter. We have bigger colorimeter, smaller amount of trackers, and just because we want to make this module as cheap as possible. Also, we have magnetic field and veto on top and down, and passive shield is not yet done, but it is in our plan to build also passive shield for this first module, just to improve background conditions for the detector. Now I speak about some part of the of working packages, so main parts. So main part is, of course, it's colorimeter, so we create 520 optical modules with extremely high, good resolution. Of course, in the field, I compare this resolution not with germanium, but with the large detector like we have in NEMO. So this is a unique 8% for one at 1 MeV, and this is a wall of the scintillator, and this is the fully mounted wall inside the LSM in our underground laboratory. We also built a SuperNemo tracker, which is the after. It was huge job because we need to create special robot for this, and because we need in the full configuration, we need more than 100,000 wires in the detector. So we created a special robotic production of these cells. Also, we need to keep during this production, we need to keep very ultra clean environment. So we are using, of course, we need to select all the materials, and also we need to do it in gas flow, and we need to use anti-radon sealing, all this stuff, because we want to reduce background as much as possible. And also what is important, we have quite small amount of dead cells, less than one. After all the productions, all these modules, so we have less than 1% of dead cell inside the tracker. Also, one of the important working package, this is the production of foil sources, because you need to create, this is also non-trivial task, to create very thin foils, which is a 30 milligrams per centimeter square, and also challenging because we have very low background, so in millibecquerel, microbecquerel. And if you look at the microbecquerel, this is a 1 decay in 1 kilogram of cell per per 11 days. So this is extremely small amount. So this is unable to test with usual standard methods of low background, for example, germanium spectrometry. So that's why we need to create special BIPO detector for this to measure this this amount. So to measure this ultra low energy, ultra low level of contaminations. If we, and here just some words about the BIPO detector, which is the some kind of thin plastic scintillator, like sandwich here, and inside the sandwich you can put the thin foil from NEMO for SuperNemo, and then of course you have two signals, which is, we call it BIPO chain, because you have BIPO decay here, that's why the call is BIPO. So this coincidence of these two signals from beta and alpha gives you signal that you have some contaminations here. And even with such a big device, which is like 3 meter long and also 0.6 meters, so this is the size, we have two models of that. Even with this such a big models, you need several few months up to half of the year in order to reach the target sensitivity to measure the level of contamination inside this foil. If we go to the next important units or working package, this is a fighting against radon. Radon is a famous enemy for any experiments in low background. Everybody knows this, and we also did extremely huge job about this, because we make a measurements of emanation of radon from different surfaces. We make a methodical works to measure diffusion of radon through different through different materials. So we have made special radon emanation setup. This is the radon concentration line. So this is a tracker working under under special anti-radon ceiling here. So this is a very time-consuming and labor-consuming job, because each basic measurements you need to spend 10 days because you need to wait until your decay of radon after closing your setup. That's why SuperNemo collaboration has a unique experience and unique database in terms of radon studies. And also this information is important for other experiments, because they're using this information and our knowledges to improve their experiments. About the current status of demonstrator. So demonstrator is now almost completely built in laboratory. So this is there is a 2-calorimeter coil, trackers are here. So, and the closure and start of the device is planned for the spring of this year. About the general contribution, so we have essential, even I would say, critical contribution to the project, because we, together with our colleagues from Prague, we participate in buying and production of all the blocks plastic scintillators, also for main walls and also for veto system. We also bought 100 PMTs for calorimeters, 7 grades for electronics. Also important things that we bought 1.5 kilograms of enriched selenium to produce the foil, especially in unique work which has been done here. This is we developed a unique purification technique to purify selenium, and we have purified half of the selenium in our detector. So we are preparing an article about these techniques. Also, we manufacture we done single signal in HV cables. Also, we have bought and create and maintain various equipment in the lab, because we need germanium, radon, neutron detectors, etc. And also we are participating in software development, simulation, and data analysis of the project. So this is a clean room in Zhelepov lab. So this is the place where we are doing this purification. Production of this clean room also not so cheap task. And finally, what I would like to say about the SuperNemo sensitivity: if project goes well, we plan with demonstrator situation goes well, we plan to do 20 modules of the SuperNemo, and with full sensitivity 10 to the 26, and the Majorana mass in the range of inverted hierarchy of neutrino. So working schedule: we plan to run start. Next year we plan to start and to make calibration and to run in configuration without shielding. And in year 19 we plan to build, also calibrate and start run with in full configuration with neutron shield. And during all this time we also will do data taking, data analysis, background studies, etc. And during this work we continue our R&D program on method of enrichment of isotopes and improvement of cleaning procedure and other tasks. Okay, here I have some numbers for proposal money, but you also have in our documents, probably I can skip this. For publication, we have very good publication activity, because now we are publishing, SuperNemo publishing final results of their for set of isotopes. That's why we have very good publications experience. So we have around 70 persons working for the project with 5 full-time equivalents. So, to conclusion. So our NEMO SuperNemo experiments based on unique techniques, which gives us full picture of double beta decay and allows to reconstruct pattern, and also that's why we can study test different mechanism. R&D of SuperNemo has been done since 2006, and now we build demonstrator as a result of these huge efforts. And we plan to demonstrate that we can reach a climate level of background and make some physics measurements. Demonstrator is almost completely assembled and started, we started this spring. Creation of demonstrator was possible because of decisive contribution from Jinner. And this stage of project, I would say that we're going in phase of data taking, so required cost is quite small and relatively to benefits, because we want to participate in coming publication. And success of the demonstrator opens opportunity for full SuperNemo project, and that's it. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Questions? Christian, please.
I am tempted to ask the same question as before for the Gerda experiment as far as data analysis is concerned and the publications also. I mean, for example, for the physics review letters that has been just published, how was the Dumna people involved in the writing of the paper?
Dubna people, for NEMO 3, Dubna people from Dubna has a quite important contribution and probably decisive, because not especially for this particular article about the quadruple momentum, because this is activity. This was proposition from our colleagues from UK, but in all other results, it means double beta decay. We definitely have a leading role in this analysis, because we have people like Vladimir Tretiak is here, so he is a main contributor and main holder of all the experiments of about data analysis, because we have people which are working in the project since beginning of this project, so that's why he knows all these history, etc. So that's why in NEMO 3, we really have a leading positions, and in Super NEMO, it's not yet so obvious, because we are participating in this project. But in data analysis, probably we should improve this participation, and I hope that we will do it. So unless during this year we are publishing a couple of final articles, so we are stopping to use NEMO 3 software and we go to the Super NEMO software, which is another piece of two independent packages. So because NEMO 3 software was in Fortran, it's a very old one, so that's why we need to change our style. But I think that we will, of course, after starting of data taking, we will concentrate, all our people will concentrate on the analysis, because it's obvious.
My questions. Yes, please, Fabrice.
I will not ask a question on Super NEMO. Just
why not? You can.
I just want to make a comment to add something about the answer of Yuri. For the analysis, on NEMO 3, the Dumna contribution was crucial. And for the main paper, which was the result on the zero new decay for the molybdenum, the result, that we use as reference was coming from Dubna. And now we are writing the final result for the two neutrino double beta decay for molybdenum, which is very important, as you see, because we can look for some discrepancy with the theory and so on. The responsibility to write the paper is in the Dubna team. And I just would like to underline that I think you have the right word in your conclusion that Dubna has a decisive contribution on the Super NEMO detector today in terms of hardware. But I think, as they have shown for NEMO 3, I think they will go naturally on the data analysis in the future and have quite big contribution.
Other questions, Claude, please? Yes, and then.
This experiments, Super NEMO as well as Gerda, are so superb that it is difficult to voice any critics. So again, also I congratulate to the progress of this experiment. And I think this experiment is quite different to Gerda, because it opens the full kinematics of each event, which is important in the future. And so I think we should support all these experiments, because they are frontier experiments in the search for new physics. Thank you.
Okay. The last one.
Sorry. I said about background from radon. Yes, radon in the equipment, but radon is present in air too. Are you sure that this radon will not problem for you in experiment in future?
Of course, we know that this is a very important So, of course, for us, the most important background is everything which is as close to our foils. Everything which is on the foil, which is near the foil, this is the main problem. All other things which is far from this, we can discriminate because we have very nice feature to discrimination. So for the radon, of course, as I show you, for foil, we know what to do, and this is a critical task to reduce number of contamination in foil, so we know this. And for air near the foil, this is also important, and what we are doing, we are using anti-radon factory. So we have special efforts to create radon pure air, and this has been found in NEMO 3, by the way. At some point we found that level of radon inside the gas is too much, and this is an extremely high background. That's why we built the anti-radon factory for NEMO 3, and we continue to improve this. To improve on this part, it means anti-radon factory, all this stuff, taking into account the radon inside the air also.
Okay. May I have one naive question? We have seen in the Gerder experiment that the limit which was reached already is well above the limit which is supposed to be reached for the SuperNEMO experiment in terms of half-life. So what makes thinking that we'll have the positive result observed in the SuperNEMO experiment?
Of course,
it's a naive one.
Yes, we're a little bit behind the NEMO, Gerda, or any calorimetric experiment, but we're still in the inverted hierarchy range. I would say that we try to push this technology as far as possible. Of course, we are waiting for some. It would be nice to see some positive indication that we have some signal here in the inverted hierarchy. But in addition to this, we still can make a measure, good measurements for usual beta decay modes, for all this other stuff. But of course, in terms of zero neutrinos beta decay, we probably. If we find the scenario, if we find something in inverted hierarchy, we can manage to reach this level. If it's not the case, of course, it will be difficult for us.
Fabrice, you want to add a comment?
Yeah, you have to take into account that when you want to transform the half-life in terms of sensitivity of effective neutrino mass, you have to take into account the phase space factor and the nuclear matrix element. Mm-hmm. And for example, if you compare 1 kilogram of neodymium with the same background with germanium, it will be 1 kilogram of neodymium is equivalent to several hundred kilograms of germanium because of the phase space factor. The phase factor depends on the transition energy at the power fifth and on the Z. So it means that you can have a large... it means that if you, for germanium, you are obliged to have the same sensitivity than, for example, for selenium or for neodymium, you are obliged to reach much more higher half-life limit than for the other isotope.
I think it will be comparable. If for SuperNEMO, as for
at a certain level, at 100 kilogram will be fully comparable with the 200 kilogram of legend.
Okay. The very last one, because if not, we have to skip the coffee. No. I think that we have an excellent topic for the coffee break, to the less formal discussions. Thank you very much. And please be back at 12.